Hi, this is Richard K. Allison, your host for Sunday Night. And this evening, we bring you an encore performance of a previous Sunday Night broadcast. If you've never listened to Sunday Night before, I know you'll enjoy it. You'll hear music, drama, humor. You'll laugh. You'll cry. I bet you'll even say amen once or twice. So sit back and enjoy an encore performance of Sunday Night.
Good evening, everyone. This is Mike Max for Skylight with pregame highlights coming to you live from Maranatha Arena, where play is just about to get underway for the Sunday night team. The players are running through their final warm-up. The special teams are doing some last-minute drills. And the coaches are giving their final instructions. This is an important one for the Sunday night crew. They've been studying the films from last game and preparing hard because their opponent never lets up. Just before things get started tonight, let's see if we can talk with a few members of the team. Mike Donnelly, you and the New American Standard Band have been a reliable and consistent part of the Sunday night offense. Are you ready for what's ahead tonight?
Well, Mike, we've worked hard to get here, me and all the team, and we're going to give 100%. We know our game plan. We know what we're after out there. And we just got to get out there and do what we know how to do.
Mike, you lost a couple key veterans in the offseason and have had to rely heavily on some rookie talent in the lineup. Have you lost any ground because of it?
Oh, no, Mike. Things are really starting to gel for this team. We're excited to be here. We're excited to play. And we're going out there tonight expecting to be winners.
Thanks, Mike, and good luck tonight.
Thank you, Mike.
Judy Hanniston, one of Sunday night's key backfield coaches, has just come into the arena. Judy.
Yes, Mike, hi.
Judy, I know you're busy with some final strategizing for tonight's game, but I'm wondering if you might give the fans a coach's perspective on tonight's big event.
Well, Mike, the whole team has worked hard to get here, and we're going to give it 100% tonight. We're going to go out there, play our game. We know what we have to accomplish, and we just got to get out there and get the job done.
Judy, it's still early in the season, but each game is important. Any thoughts on your chances this year?
Well, Mike, things are really beginning to gel for this team. We're excited to be here. We're excited to play. And we're just going to get out there expecting to be winners.
Thanks for the insight, Judy. Thanks for your time as well. I know you have things you need to get to. Standing with me now is the team's very important technical coordinator, Travis Ludwig. Travis, the details and planning you and your staff are responsible for to make this team go must be overwhelming.
Well, Mike, we work hard to get ready each week, me and the entire team, and we give it 100%. We've got our game plan down. We know what we're after out there. Now we just got to get out there and execute, do what we know how to do.
Travis, long range, does this team have the goods?
Well, Mike, things are really starting to gel for this team. We're excited to be here, excited to be playing, and we're going out each and every time expecting to be winners.
Thank you, Travis, and good luck tonight. That's all we have time for. The referees are about to whistle for the opening kickoff. This has been Pregame Highlights with Mike Max for Skylight.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home.
Sunday night. This is Howard Coe Allison inviting you to stay tuned for Sports Night. All the starting regulars are off injured reserve and ready to play. Jeffrey S. Miller in the refreshment committee. Michael Pierce Donnelly in the New American Standard Band and vocal trio Pure Word. Plus on special teams tonight, sportscaster Mike Max, former Minnesota Viking Wally Hilgenberg, trombone Hall of Famer Bill Pierce, plus the world's first nationwide wave. So, find your seat, put on your cheering cap, and get ready for something different.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world.
you and welcome to another Sunday night. I'm your host, Richard K. Allison, and we've got a dandy show for you this evening. This is sports night here at Sunday night. We've got lots of excitement, lots of thrills and spills. Things that you have never seen or heard before are going to be happening before this hour is over, so stay tuned. Absolutely. We are coming to you this evening from Maranatha Hall on the campus of Northwestern College in St. Paul, Minnesota. They don't exactly play football in here, but they have a field, and this is where we play our little game week after week, and we're glad you've decided to join us again this week for Sports Night. One of our features this evening is we have a couple of sideline reporters that will be filling us in on what's going on out in the crowd while the show's going on. And I think our first sideline reporter is Bob Stromberg. Bob, do you have somebody out there with you? How's the crowd feeling about the show so far?
Rich, I'm down here in the trenches. It's crazy down here. It's just wild. I'm down here with Doris Olson from Coon Rapids. Doris, you saw the welcome. Nothing's hidden down here. I mean, it happens or it doesn't happen, you know? And you saw it. What's your response?
You're right.
Yeah, she said you're right. She said you're right, Rich.
Great.
Now, I want to just say that may not be the response that you'd expect. You might expect something more enthusiastic, but I would say that it's early in the show. There's still time to turn this thing around. Back to you, Rich.
Thank you, Bob, and we'll be hearing more from you later. But first, this word from our sponsor.
You made it. Through the tension of traffic and burdens of bosses, through the endless meetings and overnight deadlines, through the pressures and pains of office politics, through the hectic dog-eat-dog business week, to the weekend. And that only means one thing. It's game time! And how are you going to make it through 48 hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey? How are you going to keep that flabby and fatigued body in place for NFL, NHL, NBA, and World Series action? How are you going to get the most from your weekend? Only with
Gator Coffee. Gator Coffee
puts back what the week took out.
Gator Coffee
sounds the wake-up call for the central nervous system.
Gator Coffee
energizes the couch potato for every sporting moment. To get the most from your weekend, try
Gator Coffee.
The new Scandinavian sports drink.
Somewhere in the Northwoods of Minnesota.
Larry, try it again.
No, it's not going to turn over, Carrie. Ugh, the battery must be dead.
Oh, so what do we do now, Einstein?
Excuse me. I just have to be snowmobiling by. What seems to be the trouble?
Well, I think the battery's dead.
Well, like it says in Luke 8:52, she is not dead, but asleep. Looks to me like your thermostat gasket's collapsed. Luckily, I always carry extra duct tape. This ought to get you home. Drive well and God bless.
Wow. I didn't think you really existed.
Who is he? The duct tape fairy?
No, it's the snowmobile evangelist.
He's got a fully loaded Polarity XLT with a liquid-cooled engine, standard carbide runners, and a double-O license to preach. He's Agent 009, Snowmobile Evangelist.
I was putting the finishing touches on a fan letter to John Tesh when I got the call from HQ to come in on a rush assignment. The XLT got me there in minutes, and I was greeted by the secretary.
Evening, 009.
Evening, Miss Pennynickel. What have you got?
A pastor in Drayton caught a wild broom in the head during a curling tournament. He seems okay, but every 5 minutes he crouches like a toad and sings the Little Amsie Divey song. They need a replacement while they run some tests.
Got it. Say, what do you think of my new belt buckle?
It says 600.
What? No, it says 009.
Well, you have it on upside down.
Well, that's strange. It looks okay when I look at it.
009, come on into the garage. I got some new gadgets for you.
Here's a map and your contact information. Good luck, 009.
Thanks, Miss Pennynickel. All right, B, what have you got?
Well, 009, it's the latest in wilderness self-defense. It looks, feels, and writes like a fountain pen, but it shoots a tranquilizer dart powerful enough to put away an elephant. It's an amazing pen.
And could I write calligraphy with this pen?
Sure.
That is amazing. I don't know how to write calligraphy.
Right. So, this gizmo over here, it looks like a rhododendron, but it actually is a hot air blower. It blows air heated up to 200 degrees Fahrenheit at speeds of up to 90 miles an hour. You can de-ice your engine and style your hair at the same time. Any questions?
Yes. How do you say flamethrower in French?
Las flamme. Good luck, 009.
Hey, did you notice my belt buckle?
It says 600.
It's upside down.
Oh.
Well, I hopped on the XLT and I was on my way. I was daydreaming about the different processes they could use to put pimentos in olives when I spotted a train stopped dead in its tracks. There was a man pacing frantically in the snow next to the train car that had its whole starboard side busted out.
Hello there. Hey, you with the snowmobile. Have you seen an African elephant anywhere?
An African elephant? Yeah. Now, is that the kind with the big ears or the little ears?
I take it you haven't seen her. Ooh, boy, I'm in big trouble now, kiddo. Ooh, that's a prize African elephant that just flew to coop. She bolted right out of the train.
Any idea why?
Gee, there wasn't any time for an interview. She just busted out and ran into the woods.
Into the woods?
Into the woods. Boy, I'm never going to find her. I'm a goner for sure.
Don't despair, my Scandinavian friend. Matthew 7:7 says, "Seek, and ye shall find." I'll follow her tracks. We'll get her back.
Thanks. Say, what are you doing out here?
I'm on my way to fill in for a friend who was hurt in a curling accident.
Oh, weight room injury?
Broomstick in the head.
Oh, hey, that's a nice belt buckle. Why does it say 600?
That's 009. It's upside down.
Ooh.
I followed the elephant tracks, and it didn't take me long to catch up to her and confirm my suspicions. It was the kind with big ears. And she was running like crazy, but she was running from something or to something. And why? My speculations had to stop for a moment as I spotted a cabin in the distance, directly in the elephant's path. I raced ahead to get its occupant out of danger.
Yeah, hello, who is it?
Excuse me, ma'am. You'll have to evacuate your cabin immediately.
What? Who are you supposed to be?
I'm the snowmobile evangelist. I'm on my way to Drayton to help a man who's been hurt in a curling accident.
Curling iron?
Broomstick.
Why was he curling his hair with a broomstick? And how come your belt buckle says goo?
That's 600. I mean, double... Never mind. I'm afraid you'll have to leave your cabin immediately, ma'am.
Forget it, Yukon. And the name's Betty, not ma'am.
You know, Betty, your attitude reminds me of a verse in 1 Timothy.
Holy baloney, am I going nuts or what?
I'm not familiar with that verse.
It's a giant elephant! Out of the way, Slim Jim!
Sorry about your cabin, Betty. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to follow that elephant.
I'm coming with you.
What?
He's got my clothesline around his ears. I need that house coat.
Hop on. Well, we jumped on the XLT, and with a little push, we got a few miles past her so we could formulate a plan. We stopped at the top of a hill, and I looked to the north. Suddenly, it all made sense.
What's that building?
It's a storage facility that used to belong to a major food company. A few years back, they started doing research on alternative protein-rich foods. They thought the wave of the future might be in peanut butter.
You mean...
That abandoned warehouse contains 300 tons of peanuts. And that elephant wants in. Badly.
Wow. So how come it's abandoned?
Think about it. Why stay in business if you're only making peanuts?
Wait a minute. Now that we know where the elephant's headed, what's the problem? She can gorge herself on peanuts and we'll roll her back to the train.
The problem is right below us. In order to get to the warehouse, she has to cross a frozen lake at the bottom of this hill. Look at the bear patches. That ice will never hold up an elephant. We've got to stop her before she gets to the lake.
How?
Let's see. I've got a tranquilizer gun and a blow dryer.
A tranquilizer gun?
I've got it. is a little known but nevertheless true fact that African elephants are allergic to moose antler dust.
I beg your pardon.
We could get some moose antler dust, blow it at her with the air blower, and make her sneeze. Then she'll get confused and run in the other direction. I hope. Now, we just gotta find a moose.
Why don't you just take the tranquilizer gun and then you
Quiet! There's a moose.
Really? Wow.
Now I just have to aim carefully. Uh-oh. He's walking away. Can you do a moose call?
Sure. Hey, Bullwinkle!
Got him. Now to scrape some antler dust.
Here she comes. Start up the snowmobile.
There's no time. We've got to slide down the hill to the lake. We've got to get her in the path now. There she is. Here, point this at the dust.
A rhododendron?
It's a blow dryer. Pull the cord. God bless you.
There she goes, up the hill.
Oh no, she's headed straight for the XLT. I can't look.
Who's that?
Who?
Someone in a deep blue snowmobile suit with gold trim. He's driving your snowmobile out of the way. Wow, now he's gone. Who was it?
I don't know, but I can't worry about it now. We've still got to get that elephant onto the train.
I've got an idea. Come on.
She picked up her house coat from where the elephant had sneezed, her clothesline into the ground, and we ran to the XLT. We went to the warehouse and filled our house coat full of peanuts and chased after the elusive pachyderm. After we were able to pass her, we left a trail of nuts behind us, leading to the train. By nightfall, she was back in her patched-up rail car, munching contentedly on George Washington Carver's finest. Her guardian was relieved.
Ooh, thank you so much for bringing her back. I will pay to rebuild your cabin, but I don't know how to thank you.
No thanks are necessary. Just remember to be prepared. You know, there's a parable in Matthew about preparation.
Oh, don't worry. I learned my lesson, don't you know? I'll remember to be prepared and bring lots of peanuts. I'll always be sure to pack her trunk.
Well, I got to my assignment on time, and the pastor made a full recovery, though he still flinches a little when his wife sweeps the floor. As for me, I sometimes bite into a peanut butter and olive loaf sandwich and think of that elephant, and Betty, and the mysterious blue snowmobiler. And then I think to myself, how do they paint the M's on the peanut M&M's? Life's full of mystery. But that's the way it is when you're a snowmobile evangelist.
We seem to score a few points on that one. Let's go down to the sideline and check out with our sideline reporter, Mike Max. Mike, what did the crowd say?
And I'm standing by live with Kevin Keene. Let's get your critical analysis of the snowmobile evangelist.
It beats watching Corn Girl.
How do they paint the M's on M&M's?
Very carefully, with small brushes.
Did they paint a picture for you so that you could actually see the elephant, the moose dust, and the snowmobile evangelist at one time?
It was hard to envision, but they got to it.
Very good. Thank you, Kevin.
This is a very highly intellectual group tonight. I can tell that. Thank you very much for that interview, and we'll be back with more sideline interviews. But first, we thought on Sports Night here that we ought to do something to honor as many sports as we could. And we thought, well, first of all, there's baseball. You know, baseball is the American sport. I mean, that's the one that... It's invented here. It's flourished here. It's been a big deal. So many heroes from my childhood. They've got their own theme song. And we started to think, isn't it a shame that other sports don't have their own theme song? So we decided to try out a couple things. And we wrote one, first of all, for football.
Take me out to the gridiron, take me out to the field. Football's a sport only men can play. That's why I wonder and that's why I say, if they still get hurt with that padding, why don't they throw it away? But the biggest question of all is why moms let them play.
Yeah, I am kind of like that. That's cute. I don't know if the NFL will pick that up, but we also tried one for basketball.
See how that turned out.
Take me out for some b-ball. Take me out for some hoops. Love all those big guys out on the court. Watch them shoot and then dribble back and forth. Some just play for fame and the big bucks. Some of the smell of the courts. But by far, the most of them play just to wear those baggy shorts.
Yeah, oh, that's good too. Sure. Oh, I think the NBA picked that right up. Well, of course, the sport of this part of the country, it's almost a religion. It's hockey. People play hockey all the time. Little kids play hockey. You see mothers with strollers out there playing hockey with their babies. I went drove by a baseball field in the middle of July, and they had already put the hockey walls back up. I thought, this is disgusting. But hockey is a big sport around here. So as our final contribution to theme songs for the major sports, we offer this.
Take me out to the ice rink. Take me out to the brawl. Buy me a mouth guard and helmet too. After the fight, your mom won't know it's you, for it's grab and punch for the home team. If we don't win, we don't care.
Thank you very much. Refreshment Committee, Jeff Miller, Angie Gisselson, Mary Miller, and Paul Arneberg, along with Mike and the band. I think, should we try this? Let's go ahead and try it, okay? If we do it real quickly, we have never tried this before, but we're going to try an instant replay. It's very exciting. I don't know if you realize how exciting this is. This is groundbreaking for radio to do an instant replay like this. So we're going to try that last song. We're going to go back and pull the tape. Yeah, there, the tape is up. The tape is up. We're going to start it slow so that you can hear some of the technique. Now listen to this. Yeah, and they're breathing.
Take me out to the ice rink.
You hear that vocal
Take
technique? Oh, you can just pick out all of the special choices that they make as singers.
Buy me a mouth guard and helmet.
So you can really
too.
Hear the diction when
after
they do this.
The
they
fight,
really work
your
at this.
Won't know it's you.
Yeah, now we're up to regular speed now. So you can appreciate it more once you've heard it slow. Whoops, I think we burned a tape up on it. Whoopsie daisy. Well, we'll perfect that system by next time. See, we've got a lot more to come on Sunday night. We hope you'll stay with us. We've got former Viking Wally Hilgenberg, more reports from the sideline, and Bill Pierce, trombonist Bill Pierce, will be joining us along with some reflections on winning and losing. So stay with us. You're listening to Sunday Night on the Skylight Satellite Network. Thank you, and welcome back to Sunday Night. See, we have a special drawing tonight here on Sports Night on Sunday Night. We have done a drawing, all of you that are here, and we have come up with four rows in each section. No, one row from each section. Are there only four sections, Jeff?
The way they divide the auditorium.
I see. The way they divide that, there are four sections, and we got a row from each one. So we're going to call out the winners, and you're going to get some special prizes, okay? First of all, from section one, we have row O. Where are you, row O, section one? Where is section one? Do you know that's over here? Row O. Oh, boy, there they are. Look at them back there. All right, give them a hand. All right, you're going to be given a coupon, and I'll explain that to you later. In section two, where's section two? All right, you're right in here. Row F. Where's row F? Oh, look at you. Oh, great. We got a full row there. You'll be given a coupon. In section three, row C. Oh, yeah, there they are. Terrific. And in section five, it says five. Four, row GG. GG. There they are, row GG. All right, congratulations. You are going to be given a coupon to the backstage area afterwards, sort of a pass, and you'll get a free gift, and you get to stay for a snack, and there'll be a little ceremony. And you can meet a lot of the people who have been involved in the show, so that we're glad that you'll be able to do that with us. If you would like to write to us here at Sunday Night, you can, and we wish you would. We'd love to hear from you. Our address is Sunday Night, 3003 North Snelling Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55113. That's, what was it? Sunday Night, 3003 Snelling Avenue North, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55113. We have so many letters that we could share with you from really all over the country, from California to Indiana to, where's this one from? Denver, Colorado. What do they say? Thank you for your splendid program. Stranded here in beautiful Colorado, and Minnesota is home. Thanks for making the difference. To remind the world to laugh, and though there's no place on this earth we can truly call home. Well, thanks for sharing those letters, and we read all of them when they come in. So please write Sunday Night, 3003 Snelling Avenue North, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55113. Jeff, what's next?
More groundbreaking time for Sunday Night. We're going to do something all across the nation where we're going out live. We're going to invite you all to participate tonight in the first Sunday Night National Wave. Now, if you've never done a wave before, I'll tell you how it's done. You simply rise from where you're seated, shout, and throw your hands up in the air as I name the northernmost state above you, and we go across the United States. So we get this movement of a wave across the entire United States from west to east. Now, choose that state that's directly north of you. All of you at home now are thinking, could it be Montana, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Ohio? Think about what those states are, and as I name them out, we're going to do a wave together across the nation, standing up and shouting through this auditorium from west coast to east coast. Now, one caution, however, if you are currently driving, beeping your horn is sufficient. All right, here we go. The first Sunday Night Nationwide Wave. Hawaii! Yes! Coming across. Alaska! Yes, we hear them in Alaska and Washington State, crossing Washington to Idaho. And through Montana, long state Montana, coming up to North Dakota. We can hear them shouting in North Dakota, those couple of them there. And here we come through Minnesota! Through to Wisconsin and Michigan. We can hear them. You can hear those voices. Ohio and another long state. Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. The first nationwide wave. Give yourselves a hand. Yes. All right, stick with me. We're going to go backwards a little faster. Here we go. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Alaska, and Hawaii, the first nationwide radio wave.
All right. Thank you, Jeff Miller. And we're going to go out to our sideline reporter, Bob Stromberg. Bob, what's the feeling out there in the audience?
Oh, Rich, I'm down here. It's crazy down here. It's a celebration. It's a real party. People know that they pulled it off for the state of Minnesota. We've done it proud. I've made my... Whoa! Look out, the champagne there. I'm down here with Dennis Ketterhenry, a new name to some people out there, but not to me. I've been covering waves for a year, and I know this man is the king wave himself. He's practically a surfer. The man is the old white cap himself, Dennis Ketterhenry. You've started a lot of waves, but this has to be the biggest one for you, the national wave. First one ever on radio.
You bet it is. I've never seen one as large.
Dennis, it was fantastic. Thanks for all you did. Thanks very much. I just want to say about Dennis, this is the mark of a real champion, a story he would not tell us here tonight. But this man did it under severe pain, a great injury he suffered last week in the regionals. And to have done what he just did for the state of Minnesota, suffering with a hernia like he was, that was fantastic. Let's hear it for Dennis. All right, back to you, Rich.
Thank you, Bob. We are privileged tonight to have with us one of my heroes from, well, back when I wasn't that young. I wasn't a little kid or anything. I mean, I was a teenager or college student or something.
Are you talking about when I was born or what?
No. When Wally Hilgenberg was playing for the Vikings, it was some team. You played linebacker, right?
That's right.
And did you have those guys in front of you?
I had four pretty good guys.
Yeah. Who did you
Eller
have?
And Page, Marshall, Larson.
Yeah. Now, what years did you play for the Vikings?
I played 1968 through 1979 with Vikings, Rich.
Okay. And were you on any of the Super Bowl teams?
All four of them. I've got four second-place rings.
How about that? How many people can make that claim? Well, it's great to have you with us, and those are wonderful memories back then of some of those great players. You think of Fran Tarkenton and Joe Capp and the
usually think of the great players as the defensive players.
Absolutely. And what that's understood, Wally, especially since you're a whole lot bigger than I am. Defense. I mean, that's what I go for. I go for defense. I'm big on defense.
That's right.
Yeah. See, listen, I've always been, because we see the game. You know, we see you guys with this incredible ability and talent and strength. But you go through a lot to get to that point where you are that strong and that powerful and that able to play this game. What are some of the things that we probably don't know about or don't see that you went through training-wise to become that professional football player?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I think you have to have the God-given ability. You know, I was 6'2 and 225 pounds and had a little bit of quickness to me that I was about the right size to play linebacker. But along with that, it takes a lot of work and really commitment to the game. And the physical training today, it's a 365-day-a-year job. I mean, weightlifting, the preparation they do for the game, the conditioning, the running. I've got a son playing college ball down at the University of Iowa. I mean, it's a full-time preparation for it, and you really have to be committed to it. Interestingly enough, I think not only the physical preparation for it, the mental preparation. A lot of guys are physically tough and can play the game that way. A lot of guys are not mentally tough enough to play the game, and that's a lot of times where the cut is.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of interesting. It's like the Christian life in a way. You can have a lot of head knowledge, a lot of maybe natural ability to store that knowledge and be able to spout it off. But in terms of really having an attitude of heart that takes you through the long haul, that's a different thing altogether.
Oh, absolutely, and especially when you get older and playing the game. I mean, at the end of my career, I'm looking at the rookies come in every year, and there's these guys come in there 6'4 and 240 pounds, and I'm just praying that they're not linebackers. but when you get out on the field, the heart and really wanting to play the game and everything, it was like I stayed around a while.
Yeah.
And I was real thankful for that.
Well, and you can be real thankful, too, because it was while you were playing football with the Vikings that you found Jesus. Tell us about that.
That was the biggest victory in my life, really, to be honest with you. Interestingly enough, a couple things happened. There were some guys in our ball club that real committed Christian guys that at the time I struggled with, guys like Jeff Seaman and Fred Cox. And I didn't know this, but 2 years before I met the Lord personally, they picked out the least likely guy on the Minnesota Vikings ever to come to know Jesus. and they started praying for him.
And it was you.
And it was me. And, you know, I really praise God for those prayers. You know, in James, in the fifth chapter, I think it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. They cared enough about me to pray for me for 2 years. And my wife came to the Lord before I did, about 6 months. She was praying for me. And we played the Chicago Bears one day at the old Met Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Central Division game. We had to win that game to win the championship.
Now, for those of you outside of this area, the Vikings now play in a dome. But back when Wally was a football player, they did the real thing.
Yeah, that's where the...
They played outside, man. Yeah. They froze. They froze unspeakable things during those games. So you were at...
It was a real man's game back then.
Yeah. So you're out of Met Stadium playing the Bears.
Yeah, we played this game against the Bears in a Central Division game, real important game. And right at that time, I was really fighting the Lord, you know, in my life. We played this game against the Bears, Central Division game, real close game, real tough, hard fought, went right down the wire. We won the game, and, you know, the thrill of victory was there, the excitement.
Sure.
And we celebrated on the field and off the field, and afterwards... my wife joined me outside the locker room. We were walking out of the stadium that night, and this was late in the year in December. And as we got to the gate, which we normally went out, you know, bask in the glory and sign autographs for a while and do all the good stuff, for some reason I walked back into that stadium to take a look at that place where it all happened 45 minutes before. And it had taken on a great transition. The sun had gone down behind the roof, and it was dark in there, and it was now empty, and it was cold. And it was a very lonely place. And I looked at that, and I said, Mary, that's just like my life. Mm. Because when I'm out in the parties or the bars or the office or the locker room with the guys, and we're slapping each other on the back and saying, hey, we're doing our thing. It was like that stadium with all those people cheering for you. But when you leave those places and you're heading home, or you get home and you kind of take a look inside, I realized my life was just like that cold and empty and lonely stadium. And my wife looked at me, and I shared that feeling with her, and she said, Wally, for 6 months I've been telling you what's missing in your life is Jesus Christ.
Bless her heart.
And I said, I'll think about it. I thought about it for 1 week. Next Saturday, we flew out of town. We were playing Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. Saturday night in a hotel room, I'm all by myself. I had a Bible with me. I was reading through the Bible, and I got down to John 3:3, where it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And I knew right then and there God was calling me to make a commitment in my life. And I got down on my knees and just repented of my sins and asked Jesus into my life. And it was a life-changing experience.
Oh, well, praise God. So, well, thank you for sharing it with us. Wally Hilgenberg.
Thank you.
After a full weekend of sports.
First and 10, sliding into third off the baseline when a tripping penalty was called.
You need something to bring you back to reality.
I don't know where I'm at.
Honey, the bathroom is that way.
Thank you. I know.
Something to get the mind back in gear.
Dad, I need that money for the field trip next week.
Who are you? I don't know.
Something to help you remember your kids' names.
I said walk the dog, dear, not the dishwasher.
Oh, sorry, I don't know.
Something to restore those battered nerve endings.
How long you been sitting there, Dad?
And the body's precious fluids. You need Gator Coffee!
Charge!
What? Who's there? I'm ready. Where's my skydiving gear? I can do it.
Dear, you don't skydive.
Then sign me up. I know I can do it. Where am I?
Gator Coffee, the new Scandinavian sports drink.
Would you welcome back to Sunday night, after 5 long years, one of our favorite guests, trombone virtuoso, Mr. Bill Pierce.
One, two, one, two, three.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's all sing it together right now. All right.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be
Thank you, Bill. What makes the difference between a winner and a loser? Sports is a big deal in our culture, isn't it? Winning and losing is a big issue. Some say there's too much emphasis on winning. It doesn't matter whether we win or lose, but how we play the game, they say. Now, it's true that how we play the game is important. That shows our character. But it doesn't matter whether we win or lose? Come on! It is important to win. The same people who tell you it doesn't matter whether you win or lose will also try to convince you that it doesn't matter whether a child gets an A or an F as long as they feel good about the experience. Back to winning and losing. When was the last time you got up in the morning, slam-dunked your pajamas into the hamper, fielded every early morning crisis and questioned cleanly, did not end up on injured reserve after your morning workout, and after your daily briefing with your spouse, did not end up in the penalty box? When was the last time you woke up expecting to have a victorious day? That there was nothing that the game of life could not dish out that you couldn't handle? If your competition at work showed blitz, you could pick it up. If the bases were loaded and nobody out, you could pitch out of the jam. If you were down 2 points with 1 second left in the final quarter, you could make the shot. Full court, nothing but net. Now, I think there are a lot of Christians that wake up most mornings convinced they are at best a 60-point underdog and at worst a loser. And it's no wonder, considering some of the traditional religious theories that have developed over the years. I remember hearing a pastor say from the pulpit, "Who do we think we are? We can't demand anything from God. We can't expect God to do what we ask him. We deserve nothing but his judgment. He has given us the assurance of eternity through his grace, and that ought to be enough." I wanted to stand up in the pew and say, "I'll tell you who I am. I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm seated with him in the heavenly realms right now. And along with him, I have been given total authority over the evil forces of this world. And as far as demanding or expecting anything from God, Jesus scored the final point on that one when he told us, 'If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you wish and it will be done for you.' Pastor, I may have been a slime ball worthy of judgment before, but now I'm God's child, worthy of every good and perfect gift." I'm sorry, but there's no biblical basis whatsoever for any theory other than we can expect to be victorious in all things and in all ways. In fact, to believe otherwise would be an insult to the cross. It was Jesus' death and resurrection that purchased and guaranteed that victory. The scriptures tell us that Jesus, listen now, disarmed the devil and his authorities, made a public spectacle of them, and triumphed over them by the cross. In other words, Jesus raided the locker room and stole all the devil's equipment. He made the devil and his demons do a couple of laps around a packed stadium in their underwear with their feet and hands tied together. Then he proceeded to run touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, even though confined to a cross. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Don't worry about anything. Rejoice in all things. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. For greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Don't let anybody tell you any different. When Jesus went to the cross, he went not only for your soul, but he went for your soul, your mind, your body, your relationships with your husband, your wife, your children. He went to the cross and died so that in all things, you could be a winner, both for eternity and now. He shed his blood so that every hour of every day, no matter the circumstances, no matter what the percentages show, no matter what the pundits say, you can stand firm, raise your voice with confidence and say, "I know I'm 4th and 20 on my own 10-yard line, but I'm not gonna punt.
Now ain't the time to give up believing in the power of the Spirit in me. Now ain't the time to give up believing, 'cause the devil's getting ready to flee.
Now the enemy is clever, but don't you ever think the devil's got our God on the run.
No! Now ain't the time to give up believing, 'cause the victory is already won. Down and out.
Trouble's coming left and right.
Fear and doubt.
Got me feeling real uptight.
That ain't right.
I got to look to Jesus if I'm going to win the fight.
With his might.
As the powers of darkness turn tail and run, when I turn on the light, I know that
now ain't the time to give up believing in the power of the Spirit in me. Now ain't the time to give up believing, 'cause the devil's getting ready to flee.
Now the enemy is clever, but don't you ever think the devil's got our God on the run.
Believing, 'cause the victory is already won.
Sick and tired. Healing should have come by now.
Broke and fired.
Got no home and got no child.
Help me now.
I got to look to Jesus. Problems will not make me bow.
I won't bow.
'Cause the blood of the Lamb says,
yes, you can.
I'm gonna win and how. I know that
now ain't the time. Give up believing in the power of the Spirit in me. Now ain't the time to give up believing, 'cause the devil's getting ready to flee.
Now the enemy is clever, but don't you ever think the devil's got a God on the run.
No! Now ain't the time to give up believing, 'cause the victory is already won.
God is not a man that he should lie.
Spirit in me. Now ain't the time to give up believing, 'cause the devil's getting ready to flee. Now the enemy is clever, but don't you ever think the devil's got a God on the run. No! Now ain't the time to give up believing, 'cause the victory is already won. Now ain't the time to give up believing, 'cause the victory is already won. Now ain't the time to give up.
Sunday Night is a production of Northwestern College Radio, Allison Ministries, and the Refreshment Committee. Our executive producer is Paulie Ramsier. Judy Karen Hannestad is our associate producer. Co-creative director Jeffrey S. Miller, Paul Arneberg, Angie Gisselson, Mary Miller of the Refreshment Committee, Michael Pierce Donnelly, music director of Pure Word, Karen Deers and Lisa LeMahieu, and the New American Standard Band, Scott Melchow, Kenny Holman, Mike Pilhofer. We want to thank Technical Director Travis Ludwig, with the engineering team Dick Beckvar, Kurt Olson, Bill Schell, Paul Soikinen, Dave Schmidt, Don Malley, and our stage manager, Kent Hannestad, production intern Rebecca Hedrick, auditorium crew Randy Gamer, Carrie Baker, Tim Perry, Brett Farmer, and our guest writer tonight, Stan Peel. Thanks, too, to our special guest, sideline reporter Mike Max of the Midwest Sports Channel, sideline reporter Bob Stromberg, Minnesota Vikings retiree, oh, what a word, Wally Hilgenberg, Bill Pierce, the Northwestern College Band under the direction of Phil Norris and Scott Iverstar. We thank you all for helping us tonight. We thank you all for listening and for being here. I'm your host, Richard K. Allison. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening in this afternoon to the special rebroadcast of the Sunday Night Radio Show. It's nice to highlight one of the previous shows from the Sunday Night broadcast. These shows were originally produced live before a studio audience in Maranatha Hall on the campus of Northwestern College in St. Paul, then broadcast across the nation on the Skylight Satellite Network. The host is the late Richard K. Allison. And we found some of the old shows in the archives, and we're bringing them back as summer radio specials each weekend here on Faith Radio. So listen again next Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another installment of Sunday Night. By the way, I encourage you to tell your friends, and you can get some details on our website, faithradionet.com. That's faithradionet.com. You'll find a show page for Sunday Night. Got a few pictures and comments about the show and the performers, and a few excerpts and highlights from some of the shows, including Church Secretary and Honey and Bob Stromberg and more. So check it out online, the Sunday Night show page at faithradionet.com. And then tell your friends, be sure to join us next weekend for another hour of music, mayhem, and some meaningful stuff too, right here on Sunday Nights on Faith Radio.